Hello and welcome back. This is Alice Green, your host and coach of the Food Freedom Workshop. This is our fourth class together. Today I'm going to be spending more time talking about consciousness, now that you've had a few weeks to explore being conscious and what this means for yourself. I'm going to address different types of awareness, the hunger levels again, satisfaction, and using the Discovery Journal. When I first introduced you to consciousness without judgment, I primarily talked about becoming more conscious of your hunger levels. And that alone, as you've learned, changes your behavior. In fact, I'll bet it surprises you how much of a difference that's already made for you. And as you may have noticed, being aware of your hunger levels also makes you aware of your choices and your behaviors and what makes you feel good and not so good. As you're starting to discover, when you're conscious of what you're feeling physically at the time you start to eat, you give yourself greater choices and control in that moment. You're able to be conscious enough to notice what foods you're choosing and if you really want them, whether you're really enjoying the food you're eating or not, and what's affecting your choices and what might be driving you to eat. As one of my former clients, Tom, discovered, he didn't actually enjoy chips as much as he thought once he became conscious of eating them. For years, he'd been devouring a big bag of chips nearly every afternoon, so he was shocked to find this out, much less to be really aware of how awful he felt after eating them. But he'd never been conscious enough to know that before. All he knew was he had a compulsion for chips and he couldn't stop eating them once he started. But as he became more conscious, he could then explore why he had that compulsion, and in the process he found he really didn't have an interest in chips, that this had just been a reaction to a childhood deprivation. Now, of course, there were times when he did decide to have them, and on those occasions when he had it with a sandwich or burger, what he did is he would get a really small bag, have just a handful, and be really satisfied with that. And satisfaction, actually, is the key. Being satisfied is your key to control. Satisfaction is what we long for from food, both physiologically and psychologically. And it's important that you experience satisfaction when you eat, or you will likely keep eating in an attempt to get that satisfaction. In fact, this is just what happens when you don't get the food that you want. Like when Susan, who didn't get the Ben and Jerry's ice cream she really wanted, would go out and buy a pint or a half gallon of something else and devour it in one night or in a couple of sittings. Yet, when she decided and gave herself permission to go and get her favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor, which meant for her driving to another store, it was a couple of extra miles, she discovered that getting it as an ice cream bar, you know, the smallest version of it that she could find, and getting just one was all that she really wanted. She was totally satisfied, and she was totally amazed by this. She didn't even crave it all that often. She was no longer pigging out on ice cream 3 to 4 nights a week because she had been satisfied, and she knew that she could get more of what she really wanted at any time. She knew what it was that she wanted, she gave herself permission to get that, and she didn't need a lot of it to feel that satisfaction. So giving yourself permission to have foods that fully satisfy you, and being aware of what does and doesn't satisfy you, and being conscious enough to enjoy how good that food or beverage tastes, makes all the difference in your ability to eat less and be in control of food. In addition, satisfaction is not just the way food tastes or the experience of eating a healthy meal that you really enjoy. It's also the point at which you've eaten enough food and you know intuitively you don't need any more, even though you haven't reached any physical sensation that says you're full. It's a knowing that you've had enough. It's an intuitive knowing. And it's that point that's often called satiety or being satiated. And it's more the question of, is my hunger taken care of, rather than, am I full? And before reaching that point, you may also have a knowing that you need a little bit more to reach that satisfaction level. Now, for some people, this takes a while to figure out and finesse, and for others, it happens easily and quickly. There is no right or wrong amount of time. We're all different. The nice thing is we all have this inside us. It's what young children are easily able to tap into before we as adults and all of our schedules take over in determining when they should or shouldn't eat or how much they should or shouldn't have. But they and us, we never lose it. It's always a part of us that we can tap back into. So at this point, I think it would be helpful if I revisit the hunger scale and talk more about how to determine where you are on that scale. So if you look in this week's workbook, you'll see that scale again on page 1. As I described in our first class, when you're at a 2 on the scale, this is the point at which you're hungry enough to eat. How this feels can really differ from person to person, but for most of us, it's some type of very light gnawing sensation in our stomach. Now, it could also be a sensation of warmth or a pang or some other physical awareness that isn't urgent but becoming present, but it's something that you're starting to notice. When you get to a 1, that's the point when you're feeling one of those sensations much more urgently. Or you might be getting cold or lightheaded, irritable, or having some other reaction to your blood sugar levels dropping off. And then 0 is when you're so hungry you almost hurt. Or you might be losing concentration or feeling a bit woozy. And it can also be something that we've all had happen, which is we feel nothing. It's where the feeling of hunger has totally passed. And in fact, this actually happens the most frequently. You get so busy or you've learned to tune out your hunger from many years of trying to lose weight that you don't even notice your hunger most of the time until perhaps it's the evening or you get some downtime. And even then, when you finally stop to notice, you may not actually feel all that hungry, even though you are and you certainly should be. But just because hunger pangs have passed by or gone undetected, it doesn't mean that you aren't in need of food. It means you've missed the signals. And when it does catch up with you and you do finally eat, you will be super, super ravenous and probably unable to easily stop at a 7 or an 8. And you'll be starving your metabolism instead of boosting it at the same time. Not what you want to be doing. Now, the more you pay attention to when it is that you get hungry, you may actually be surprised to realize how often you've missed these signals in the past. You might start to wonder, wow, is it a good thing to get hungry so often? As you begin to notice your hunger 4, 5, or even 6 times a day. And the answer is yes. It's a great thing for you to finally feel hungry more often. You need the food. And I'm always excited, and my clients are always sort of surprised by my excitement when they start to become much more aware of their hunger throughout the day because they're connecting to the signals that their body is sending them for more fuel. And you don't want to deny those signals. You want to honor them and eat. You don't want to drink water in an attempt to minimize or ignore them, as is often recommended to lose weight. You want to be sure that you're fueling your body and your metabolism and your blood sugar levels. Hunger is your body's way of telling you what it needs to regulate its blood sugars and your metabolism. And it's an amazingly accurate indicator. You know, if you increase your activity levels or begin any strengthening routines, what will happen is you'll become hungry more often. And that's because your body's metabolic rate has increased and it needs to be fueled. You probably even had this happen. But you'll become very aware of it as you start to pay attention to your hunger levels. And when you come to respect your body and its needs, you will want to fuel your body rather than starve it. And you'll find you'll feel so much better as a result. And how you feel, honestly, is the key. When you feel better, that is the right indication that you are doing the things that's taking care of your body. It's all about doing what leaves you feeling good physically, mentally, and emotionally, even spiritually. And when you let yourself get too hungry, overeat, or eat foods that aren't healthy, it doesn't feel good physically. And when you obsess about food, become compulsive, feel out of control, go on a binge, or beat yourself up afterwards, it doesn't feel good mentally or emotionally. In fact, actually, the secret to success is focusing on what will leave you feeling good as you eat and after you eat, rather than striving to be good, because you will never be good enough or perfect enough, and that will feed self-criticism and the cycle of dysfunctional eating. So consciousness is what will help you focus on how you feel and what feels good to you, and that will help you want to make healthy choices and develop healthy strategies. Now, let's move to the other end of the scale, where 8 represents starting to get full and feeling full. And it's that moment that you have any sensation associated with feeling full. Again, this may be different for each of you. You know, when you get to an 8, you might start to feel pressure, a sense of being bloated, a distinct fullness feeling, some slight discomfort, or something else. And no surprise, these sensations are much more recognizable when you hit 9 and you become very full. And then by the time you hit 10, you probably are feeling sick or wiped out or may even fall asleep. Now, sometimes there's confusion about what it takes to know if you're full and if you have to wait 10 minutes to determine that. Now, if you find that you stop eating when you think you're satisfied only to discover that you're actually full a short time later, well, then clearly you did have too much and probably did land closer to that 8 than 7. So you can experiment with your quantities and you try having a few less bites and then see if 10 minutes later you're still satisfied or you've shifted to becoming full. You know, it does take time and a bit of experimenting to get that intuitive knowing of when you're truly satisfied without having too much. And the key is being able to know this without having to wait those 10 minutes. And you will. You will start to know when is satisfaction for you, and you'll know it intuitively. Now, I also want to address a question I often get about not wanting to eat in the morning, not feeling hungry in the morning. Many people don't feel hungry, certainly not at a 2 at breakfast time. And some people even get nauseous at the thought of eating an early breakfast. So this is the one time of day when you don't have to be at a 2 to eat. In fact, it may take eating to get your metabolism and hunger signals fired up. So if you can get yourself to eat, then do so. Because it's been confirmed in countless studies that those who eat breakfast have higher metabolisms, have more energy and greater concentration than those who don't. And again, it does start firing up your hunger signals, and you do need the food. But if it makes you sick to do it, then eat in mid-morning when you can stomach it. Or have something small first, and then, you know, first thing in the morning, and then a little bit later, have your fuller breakfast. So now I've given you a little bit more understanding of the hunger scale. The hunger scale, as well as the Discovery Journal, are the two tools for increasing your consciousness. So I do want to talk a little bit more about the journal. The journal was designed to keep you conscious throughout the day so that you know when to eat and how much to eat intuitively. The journal has 3 primary functions. It's helping you to stay conscious physically, helping you to be conscious of what's driving you to eat other than physical hunger. In other words, being mentally and emotionally conscious. And it's about helping you see patterns of your eating behaviors. Tracking foods, as I've talked about before, is not one of the primary functions. Tracking what you eat, of course, is a valuable part of the process, but only as a means of understanding drivers and patterns, not as a means of determining if you're being good or bad in your food choices. Tracking is also useful as you're learning how to balance your food. So this is a time when you want to write down the foods that you're pairing together so that you can see if they're indeed balanced and so you can start to keep track of those meals and snacks that worked. That will give you a list of what works for you both in balance and even quantity that you can refer back to in the future. But this isn't something you would need to keep doing. It's more done as part of the learning experience and getting it incorporated into your planning and your thinking. What you don't want to do is use this journal to track all of your foods every day. Not only does that get tedious, it can trick you into thinking that you're tracking the right and wrong foods. And as soon as that happens, you're being pulled back into the diet mentality and giving into the subconscious enforcer of restrictions, which then leads to that struggle of being good. And that gets accompanied by self-criticism and rebellion. Now, it's the focusing on the food that gets you in trouble, and it isn't where the real issues or solutions lie. They lie in the subconscious drivers of thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. So that is what you want to use the journal for, to uncover and to resolve these. So the real purpose of writing things down is to gain insight through awareness, curiosity, discovery, and figuring out what strategies might work best to make choices that honor you and leave you feeling better. So to be clear here, you can use the journal to write down foods that you're pairing together to see for yourself if they're well-balanced or to discuss it in our coaching session. And then, as you get more certain on this, you can just do it for the meals and snacks when you aren't so sure. You don't need to keep writing down balanced foods that you know work together, because the point is to use the journal as a place of learning and paying attention to what does and doesn't feel good, what does and doesn't work for you. So the format of the Discovery Journal, which you can refer to on the top of page 3, gives you a place for noting the time that you eat, which will help you really see if there are long gaps between the times you eat or if you're eating within an hour or so after having just had something to eat, because this is where you can check in. You say, you know, are there any patterns here? Oh, how interesting. I'm noticing that after lunch, I find that by the time I get to have a snack, it's been a lot of time, and I can see that because by the time I have my snack, I'm ravenous. Or maybe you don't have a snack and you're ravenous by dinner. So you get to see some consistent patterns. Or you'll notice if there's an opportunity to learn that under certain circumstances, you either don't get enough to eat or you don't notice your hunger levels. Then, seeing where you land on the hunger scale throughout the day will also reveal patterns, such as snacking around the same time of day when you aren't hungry. This will give you some really good insights as you reflect on, well, why is that? Or you may see that you're frequently very hungry by lunchtime because you aren't getting enough, or if any, mid-morning snack. Or that you don't eat enough and then get really hungry before you have a chance to get enough food. You will learn a lot looking at both the patterns, either reflected in the hunger scale or in your notes, and with the times. And if there are times when you find yourself eating foods that aren't healthy or particularly balanced, these are also worth writing down so that you can explore why. The point, again, isn't to highlight them because you've been bad, but to see what it is that you're drawn to and what the correlation is to the subconscious driver of that choice, or to consider what you compare with that food so that it becomes more balanced. So you might put down, you know, you see how interesting, you know, at a certain time of day, I always have chocolate. Well, there might be, especially if you aren't hungry, there may be something going on at that time driving you to have chocolate. Or you are hungry, you really do like chocolate, and maybe the thing to do is pair that with some kind of nuts. Again, don't always assume that it's a bad thing. Be curious as to what is going on around that circumstance so that you can understand how it is that you best want to address it. By the way, you don't need to put down quantities unless you think it's relevant or unless you think that that would be really helpful for you as you get familiar with what's enough food. And you can certainly note, you know, either the foods or the quantity in any column that works for you. You may have a column that you don't use that much, and you could fill it all in there. You can create these pages where there are a lot more lines. And, in fact, that's something that I'm showing you here. The journal is available where you can get it, where there's a page per day, which gives you lots of space to write down all the foods that you're eating at a meal and a snack in that meal column. And that is exactly what I show you below that top image on page 3. It's exactly the same format, but each section is for a meal or snack rather than for a new day. And this version of of the Discovery Journal is available on the resources page of my website, and that really can be handy to have for the times where you do want to write down all the food and you want to have enough place to put it. And in fact, this was the journal format that I used to use in the past. But I've learned that more people are willing to fill out the journal if it's on one page for the week, and I've learned that the one-page format discourages tracking foods and keeping most of the focus instead on consciousness and exploration. So it really does seem to work better, but I want you to know that it's available. On the other side of the journal, we've been focusing more on the left side, so if we focus on the right side of the journal, here it gives you place for that further exploration. Particularly whenever you overeat, eat when you aren't hungry, or eat foods that are not that healthy or balanced, like having a couple of donuts with a cup of coffee. You know that's not balanced, and there's probably something else going on there, and it's not as healthy as it could be. So there, you can jot down any thoughts or feelings you're experiencing at that time. And even if they don't make sense, jot them down. Yeah, you might write, just needed something to chew on, or, you know, this is my favorite restaurant and I know I don't get here very often. You might put down on the run and thinking I was late, or you might put down stressed. The more you notice and jot down, the more information you have so that you can more easily figure out which of those eight reasons we discussed in our second class might be a factor. And what it is that looking back would have been better for you and would have left you feeling better afterwards. But, you know, the word stress might be enough. It might tell you everything that you need. The more you write, very often the more clues that you get, but put down whatever it is that you find in that moment resonates with what was going on at that time. And then as you get insights about the drivers or factors, put them in that last column. And as you come up with initial ideas for strategies that would work better next time, note that too. And you may also want to transfer certain strategies into your workbook that you want to remember, or are for situations that you know are tricky and will come up again, as most do, so that you can easily find it the next time around and even further integrate it into your awareness. Now, I know not everyone is going to use the journal. Many people have resistance to writing things down or can't get themselves to use it. And this may be because of a past experience with food journals and a subconscious emotional reaction to that, or it could be the lack of having a strategy to make it readily available during the day, or it may be something else. If you ever find you don't use it, be curious about why that is. It isn't an issue of being bad not to use it, but of seeing what's getting in the way of using a tool that may help you stay more conscious, be more aware of your patterns, and resolving your issues. Now, I do have to say, for some people, they do just fine not journaling. But from what I've seen, those who use it consistently are the ones to maintain their consciousness and fully integrate this into their lifestyle long term. Those who don't are more susceptible to letting their awareness lapse and to forgetting that the tool's even there to help them in order to regain that consciousness or to return to their strategies. Now, what I often see is people use the journal for the length of time of the program and then stop. But that may create a subconscious belief that the journal is part of a program and only required because there's some accountability. And that thinking creates a limiting belief, and it limits the real value of the journal. It's a tool. It's a tool to help you stay on track month after month and to resolve subconscious behaviors. So later in the program, what we're going to do is explore having you use the journal less often and turning to it when you find yourself losing consciousness or making choices that don't serve you. You need to learn how to turn to the journal when you need it, because obviously you won't need it every day for the rest of your life, and I don't want to teach you to use the tool in a way you can't sustain. And it's so easy to think that. once you're conscious regularly and easily making healthy choices, that you have the intuitive eating and subconscious drivers all under control, and that you'll never go back to your old habits or way of dealing with food again because you've got this down. Well, that may be true, and that may be true for a while, but all it takes is losing consciousness, just for a little while, maybe just for a week, or reading a magazine article about a food that makes you fat or reduces belly fat, that you think, oh, I've got to do that and I can't have certain things, and you're more focused on that than being conscious of how you feel, or eating a bit more sweets than usual and having your cravings take over, or going through a rough emotional patch and turning to food for comfort so that you can forget all this. Well, honestly, it takes time. It takes even up to 2 years to fully integrate this fully. So you need to be able to know how it is that you can either turn back to the journal when you need it to pull yourself out of a slippery slope, or to turn back to your strategies that you have in this workbook to help you to remind yourself of what it is that works, and to help yourself to have the tools available to pull you back from being run by old habits and drivers. So for this week, in wrapping up, I want you to do more exploring with the journal and writing down your thoughts and feelings, or anything that will help you understand what is affecting your choices whenever you find yourself eating something that you don't need or making choices that aren't healthy for you. And also, balance a few more of your meals and snacks this week. And use your journal to write some of these down so that you can see for yourself if they are really balanced. And you can go back and look at your food group sheet and look at the balance sheet so that you can see, yep, they are or they aren't. And then when you see that they are, you can have those ideas for future reference if you really enjoyed them. So thank you again for joining me today. This concludes our fourth class. We will meet again next week. And in the meantime, I look forward to having you on our coaching call. Talk to you soon.